Welcome to 2023 with Agnes Kunkel. In 2020, the world was hit by COVID-19. It was like a time machine. Find out what the world might look like in spring 2023 and how we will need to adapt. 2023, your window to a world beyond COVID-19. Susan is very upset. Monday morning and then this. Three times she had pointed out that offer had to go out to the client on Friday, and now it just fell through. Of course, the data sheet for the technical support department had not been ready until Friday afternoon. No, that's no reason to just drop it. Now that Xenia Miller, her assistant, works from the home office on Thursdays and Fridays, she can't rely on anything. On Friday, Susan had been to a training course. Susan sends Xenia a chat message that she should come to her office immediately. In the meantime, Xenia had also noticed that the offer had been forgotten on Friday. Her boss Susan is a fantastic person. She always gets the new customers on board, even in the current difficult times. But there isn't much left of the former team spirit. Susan rushes from meeting to meeting, and her employees are sometimes only lightning rods for her bad mood and failures. Cold one-liners as emails, ranting tirades in the team meetings. Xenia takes another deep breath. She heads to Susan's office. Let's just get this over with. Susan is reaching for her cell phone. Empty the damn thing! She's digging into her bag for the charger. She tries frantically to plug it in, and slips off a few times. Oh yes, the charger! The charger should be her anchor for mindfulness since Friday. Newfangled stuff. In the end, all that counts is how much revenue I make. Still, the charger is now an anchor for mindfulness. The charger. What would life be without it? Susan closes her eyes. What did the coach say on Friday?
Susan, imagine how the charger would feel in your hand. Imagine how the electrons flow through the charger and charge the batteries, and how good this feels. Say thank you to this little charger for always being with you.
Well, unless I misplaced it. Susan takes three deep breaths, and as she opens her eyes, Xenia is standing in front of her. Susan says,
Xenia, please sit down. I want to discuss something that is very important to me. I understand that you did not do it on purpose on Friday. However, it is very irritating. Do you have any idea how we can do better in the future?
We still live in the times of COVID-19. Over 10 million confirmed cases all over the world, and over 500 people have died from this disease. The hotspots are USA, Brazil, India. In Germany, we had a severe outbreak in the meat industry. And there we have fears. What will happen when we have lower temperatures in fall and winter? My name is Agnes Kunkel. Today it's Monday, 29th of June, 2020. Our guest today is Brigitta Wunick. She works as coach for top executives in Hamburg for many years. She was many years with the Treuhandanstalt and McKinsey. In recent years, her focus has been on digital leadership and now mindfulness. Welcome, Brigitta.
Hello, Agnes. I'm so grateful for being here in this very, very interesting podcast.
Dear Brigitta, you spend a lot of time with questions regarding leadership and teams. Let's talk about leadership in the year 2023. Before COVID-19, most people understood a team as a structure opposed to a project structure. Will we see any changes regarding this point in 2023?
Well, that's a really interesting question, because actually triggered by the current experience with home office, fixed team structures are softened. That's at least what I see and what I assume. And new forms and processes are forming. And not everyone wants to return to structures, but enjoy their own space and personal responsibility in the remote office. It may even be that very sought-after forces only want to work as freelancers in future.
So let's stick to the topic of having an intensive use of remote office. Does this erode established team structures? And how does this look in practice?
Well, I think that the whole thing just becomes more and more heterogeneous. The existing processes cannot simply be transferred from, you know, head office into a patchwork of remote office. That's too simple. Not every employee has the same technical and spatial resources. And certainly the interfaces suddenly look very different when some of them work remotely in the team and others are in the office.
And what new structures and processes do emerge?
What I see already is more freedom in the execution of tasks and greater personal responsibility for the structuring of one's own workflows have definitely become more important in order to work well in the home office or remote office. It's actually really more about how. How do I structure myself? How do I structure my day? And how much am I really feeling responsible for the outcome of my task?
That's a nice bridge to our little story in the beginning about Susan and Xenia and their new structures, as Xenia is now much more time in the remote office, and that these, of course, sometimes has some difficulties, and that this means different challenges for executives. How does this impact the executives in the next years, 2023, maybe?
Yeah, I think what you can already see is that it has different impacts. There are some executives who are really very glad that they no longer have to deal with these details. They don't want to look after or like micromanage their stuff. They just want them to work very independently. So they will be very happy about this new approach of remote office if they have a team that can work in a self-responsible way. And others who might tend to manage or micromanage more their teams, they are really facing a lot of difficulties because just imagine half of their team is not in the office, so they just can't only walk by and control them. They have to trust and rely on their teams who sit in the remote office.
Even when sometimes mistakes are happening, as Susan was experiences, what way people like Susan should shift their focus in these coming years?
I think the focus has not shifted to manage or micromanage more. It's not about control or demanding control. It's really about establishing a team spirit and get people really involved, you know, a team spirit that makes a difference for the team members. And so team members understand that their work is really important. And if they understand this, then they will establish more and more responsibility and take accountability for their task.
These old ideas of micromanaging is no longer a good idea. And could it happen that strengths and weaknesses of the managers are more clearly visible in this new situation?
Of course. Nowadays, I like to say that the corona crisis is the best assessment center that we've ever seen. Because, you know, the isolation in the home office made it so easy to see which manager was concerned with the framework conditions for a good job in their home office, as well as with the mental stability of the team members and the team. Do they really take care about their team or do they only take care about themselves? And I've seen a lot of different cases where, for example, a manager didn't even contact his team for over 3 months of lockdown. And I saw other cases where managers had very regular and frequent virtual coffees or check-ins or even team events. So there is a huge difference, and that you can see right away in this corona crisis.
I understand that working in a remote office does not mean that we lose social contact. That was on the level of the executives, of the management level. On the company level, what do you think, what conclusions will companies have drawn in 2023?
I think, you know, the companies now, really now, have to really rethink their model. Mm-hmm. And they have to be aware that they are going to deal with, I would say, so-called hybrid team situation and even hybrid organizational setups. And this means that some of the staff or some of the team members will work remotely, and doesn't mean necessarily working from home. It could be some place mm-hmm. anywhere in the world, and others are in the office. Mm-hmm. And companies must already create the right framework conditions now and prepare their managers and employees for this.
What do you think is most important here?
Well, leaders, I mean, it starts with leaders. Yeah? Leaders must establish a sense of community in the team and the usefulness of all the work. So what we see now, video conferencing and shared platforms are hyped, and it's good because digitalization has really moved into the working field, but that's not enough. The challenge is the establishment of team spirit and purpose. We really need something around team spirit, values, and purpose.
So you say great video conferencing systems and good working platforms like Teams also, that's not all.
No, it's not. I mean, you need them. You need the team platforms and modern video conferencing, but they are only part of it. But what does this help? If the employees do not recognize the meaning of their work and do not feel part of the team, I assume that these will be still the core success factors because without purpose, work makes no sense. And this, I'm very sure, will not change in future. It will even gain more importance.
So maybe when you have more loose structures, the purpose and the meaning becomes more important. But on the yes. other hand, the structures are a little bit looser than before. How does this match together?
Well, they seem looser because people do not sit in one office building anymore together, on one floor or in one big office. But that's not, you know, sitting together does not mean that a team is very close. I've seen dysfunctional teams sitting together and, you know, they were not close at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm convinced that teams expect a more human relationship with each other because now they have to come to know how important it is to treat yourself and others with a mindful relationship when working together. Because if you work remotely, you really have to take more care. Now teams have experienced how important it is to treat yourself and others with a mindful relationship when working together. You know, the cold of the virtual distance is filled with personal appreciation. And that's important to understand.
To make a few conclusions for our listeners at this point, you say we will see, in any case, hybrid teams, and we will have some mix of presence in the head office or the central office and remote work. That would be one important point, and that will have some results in working together. And that will shift or focus on results, maybe processes and details how results are achieved are a little bit less important. That we will have in any case that these hybrid structures mean more challenge for the management level and for the executive level, and that the executives and management people have to improve their skills in communication, empathy, and mindfulness, as when you just have technical, or often in a hybrid structure, technical connections. That then you have the challenge to bring purpose, meaning, warmth, personal appreciation through these technical channels. That's right?
Yes, Agnes, that's exactly what I assume. Because you can already see, you know, also in the last couple of years, mindfulness and appreciation has really become more and more important. Especially in our VUCA world, where everything is volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. And if I look into the future in the next 2 years, and I assume it's 2023, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that this demand for mindfulness and the purpose will increase.
When we think of the little story in the beginning and generally, will these hybrid structures lead to special problems that didn't exist before? I mean now not from the technical side, but from the interaction between leaders, managers, employees, and maybe from team member to team member?
Well, that's a very interesting question. And what I think is, you know, for the people who are still in the office, frictions are probably still more noticeable than compared to working virtual. And the problems probably remain the same they have today. Because, you know, we're all human beings, so these human frictions will stay the same. I don't think that they will significantly change. And these team members, you know, in the office, they can sit down and speak out. So I think that this will be probably quite comparable to now. But virtually, one is more distant from each other. You know, you all sit in different places and you only commute via virtual tools. So this means that you are less upset and at the same time freer to make clear criticism because you are not so close to each other. You just see each other on a screen. And this changes immediately if you were in a room in person. Imagine coming together. This has a complete different dynamic and a complete different energy. And everyone needs to learn to deal with hybrid reality and to work to shape the team.
So maybe team members also might a little bit differ. One may be bloom and flourish in this new flexible environment, and others maybe are a little bit out of the track and have difficulties with this. So how could, do you think, a leader could approach this additional difficulties?
Yeah, there's already some research going on that what you really need to do as a leader is you have to strengthen your self-awareness and mindfulness approach. And, you know, because if I want to be treated humanly, so I start with it myself. It always starts with you. You can't sit there or stand there and say, you have to change. It's always yourself who has to change first.
Self-perception, mindfulness. I think gurus and leaders, mental leaders, have been working for thousands of years. And how can we now in our organizations and corporations encourage employees and managers to become more mindful?
That's a very good question, Agnes. Of course, mindfulness is out there for thousands of years.
Yes.
If you look down to the roots of mindfulness, you will probably, you know, come to the Buddhism approach in, I don't know, 2,500 years ago. But today, you know, today you can support your teams and also your executives by appropriate trainings and retreats and coaching. And I believe that the companies have to pay or provide these because, you know, just having a soccer kicker alone is not longer enough. You know, there needs to be a rethink. And as you know, because that's what you mentioned in the beginning, is I already work with my program called Mindfulness at Business. So I bring mindfulness to the business. And there is also this training for mindfulness-based emotional intelligence called Search Inside Yourself, and it was invented by Google, so the data-driven company, and was also developed for executives. So what we can see here is that the, I would say, the direction of leadership skill development really goes into the direction of mindfulness.
I guess that was the little, the important point of the story in the beginning. When Susan, on this Friday, she isn't in the office or she isn't working as she was to such a mindfulness workshop as you are giving these programs in your mindfulness at business. Maybe she was with you on the Friday.
Yes, I hope she was.
And then as we always have this story very short. I made it really that she just is thinking of this one little exercise she had learned from the coach and from the trainer to calm down, to calm down, and to go in this state of self-perception by touching a little item of her daily work. What do you have experiences with this? I guess you know, and maybe you use mm-hmm. this little technique, as it's very well is mm-hmm. published mm-hmm. all over in books and in mm-hmm. In the internet. That this way of touching such a simple object, that this can bring down your mind and really bring focus to yourself, and suddenly really understanding maybe on Friday it was not sent out. Maybe she has to call the client to say, I'm sorry, we will send it today. No one will have worked on the stuff from Friday to Monday. That this is enough to create such a switch of mind?
Yes, what you're referring to is a very popular mindful practice, mm-hmm. a kind of micro practice, I would call it. That's how I call it in my program. Yeah, micro practice, because you only need very little actions here. And to understand that Susan was in a so-called amygdala hijack.
Yeah.
I mean, her emotions just, you know, overflowed her yeah. brain. Her amygdala was so active, she couldn't think clearly anymore. Her prefrontal cortex was just blocked.
Mm-hmm.
And what helps is either you sit and breathe and count to 10, for example, or you have, as in the story, you have a piece, you know, in the charger in mm-hmm. this case, that you touch, you've taken your hand, and this is your anchor,
mm-hmm.
yeah? And immediately your brain recognizes this anchor and then signals down to the amygdala like, okay, calm down, everything is fine, you're safe, we will find a solution. And then mm-hmm. your thoughts calm down and your system also calms down.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very, very good mindful micro practice.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, I think the story is very nice to show mm-hmm. how easy mindfulness can mm-hmm. be implemented even in business.
Yeah, when I wrote it, I in the first moment was not completely convinced that it worked. But when I read it again and this flow, I felt the flow of the electrons.
Yeah, exactly.
And charging the batteries, and maybe it's really. Mm-hmm. Worth a try.
Yes, it is. And if you don't have a charger, you can always rely on your breath, because mm-hmm. your breath is always with you.
Mm-hmm.
If you look into meditation practice or into mindfulness practice, the breath is the best anchor you have, because mm-hmm. you always have it. Without breathing, you would be dead.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, paying or drawing your attention to your breath for 3 breaths, for example, mm-hmm. already calms down your emotional state.
Mm-hmm.
And you really can experience how your thoughts calm down and even your body mm-hmm. then relaxes in
okay.
a certain way.
As you are teaching these practices in your mindfulness program, how long would mm-hmm. you typically expect someone like Susan, which is so full in this amygdala overflow, how long,
yeah.
If I would be an executive who wants to set up a program in my company for effective and really good, Susan is doing a very good job. She is very important, as she is gaining a lot of new clients. When I would want to put someone like Susan in such a program, how many Fridays mm-hmm. do we have to send Susan to your program?
Mm-hmm. Well, that depends. I mentioned 2 programs that I offer. One is the Mindfulness of Business one. That's an online program. You can mm-hmm. do it online, and mm-hmm. that's only an hour. So I have like 4 modules around mm-hmm. this emotional management, leadership skills, and mindfulness skills, and every module is 1 hour and it's online. And we, you know, I conducted over like 4 weeks, which really makes sense to have like one module per week. The other program I'm offering is Search Inside Yourself, and this is a 2 days training. And it's, you know, it's really very interactive. It has a lot of different mindfulness practices. It has a lot of neuroscience and studies. So it's really well explained how the brain functions if you talk about mindfulness. And you can have these 2 day trainings, and then you have a 28 day challenge afterwards via email, or you can split these 2 days into up to 6 modules and have it spread over a period of maybe 6 weeks. So there is no, you know, there is no like black and white answer to your question. And in my ideal world, you would have a kind of upfront mindfulness training where you lay the foundation, and then you would have like smaller reminders and checkups and web you know, like webinars over a period of several months where people start learning how to integrate it into their daily life and into their business life.
Okay, so there are maybe 1 or 2 days trainings and a combination of webinars or maybe individual coaching for really important people like a Susan, who we say, okay, we want, she's an excellent sales person and we want just to improve her leading, her her strength in leading a team and making a team working very well. Okay, so... what I understand is that you are thinking or hope that we are see a chance that we, after this COVID-19 crisis, have a window to put more emphasis on purpose, that we can use technical ways of teaching like webinars, online training to help executives, to help managers with these, being a role model, being aware, being full of appreciation for the employees, for the clients, for the vendors, whoever they have contact, and that this could be an important positive effect we have from this time of disease and trouble and sorrow?
Yes. I truly believe this because this is what I'm already seeing. You know, if I talk to my clients or if I reach out to colleagues all over the world, it's actually one voice out there that says we need mindfulness more and more. We need emotional intelligent leaders more and more, because this time, I mean, it was really extraordinary. It can come again. You never know. It might not, but you never know. And what it really showed is that people want to have a more purposeful, a more meaningful life. And why am I saying this? Because some of my clients, you know, who were locked down in their remote office, they suddenly experienced, oh, wow, how nice it is not to commute to work for an hour in the morning and in the evening. Instead, I can spend this, for example, with my partner or with my family. And they also experienced how important family and friends are, especially if you're isolated from them, then you suddenly know, oh, this is what I'm missing. And they also experience how valuable it is to have trust, you know, have to build trust in the team, because then you can also work remotely together very well, because you know that your colleague or your team member or your manager will do what, you know, what he promised to do. So all these experiences are, you know, they come back to the relationship level. And it's not about the technical stuff. Technical stuff is only tools. And people understand that relationship, relationship, I would even say meaning and kind of love for each other is really important. And that makes you happy. It makes you happier. and it makes you more motivated, to use a business term, to do your work. Mm. It doesn't mean that you work all night. Mm-hmm. That's exactly nothing that we're going to see much longer. It means you're doing your work and you're feeling happy and fulfilled with it. And then if you have like these motivated people in companies, I'm pretty sure you will have less overtime.
Okay. Good to hear. So maybe let's recap. Let's recap that for our listeners after all. We will have hybrid teams. We will have especially the important employees. They will become more demanding. It will be more challenging for the leader. These qualified people want to contribute and to realize their ideas. The executive will be much more a role model. And this will be the most important point to keep the team performance on high levels. For being a role model, these executives have to be very well trained in self-perception and have to be a good understanding what are their strengths and their weaknesses. And that only companies that start and support the executives in this development will be able to master the challenges, and especially the challenges in the quite difficult economic environment we will see in the next few years.
Yes, Agnes, I completely agree what you just said and summarized. And we can also see already companies starting with this development because they realized how important it is now to develop and enhance leadership and also team members, like in skills, emotional intelligence, and so on and so forth. So this is already starting, and I'm pretty sure if we talk again in 2023, we will look back on this interview and say, yes, now you can see the companies who have survived successfully have exactly done the right job.
Now, a final question for you personally. What changes in your personal life will you keep till 2023?
Wow, that's a good question, Agnes. Let me just describe a little bit what happened to me during this crisis, because I was also in the lockdown, of course, and I also sat in my home office. And I have a quite long meditation practice already. And what happened is that I deepened my self-awareness even more through meditation. So I extended my meditation time and my practice, and I was part of a lot of online meditations with really well-known meditators. So this strengthened my self-awareness and grounded me at the same time. And actually also, in addition to that, I learned to focus my personal and professional life on leaving something meaningful. I really thought and said about what is something meaningful I want to leave behind when I leave this world. Yeah? And this I will definitely keep and expand it further, because this is so important and has become so important for me, because my job was always my passion. It was never only a job. And now I'm putting the meaning and the purpose I bring to the world even more and more into focus.
Oh, that sounds really great. We will talk about it in 2023. And I hope that you...
I hope so.
That this all works out in the way you are hoping. It was great to have you with us. And thanks for being with us. And... bye-bye, Brigitta, and till next time.
Yes, Agnes, thank you a lot, because I love this podcast, which is called 2023, because it really gives the opportunity to think and rethink our reality at the moment. And also provide the path for more, for more growth, you know, for the society, for the world, and especially also for the business world. So I'm very grateful that I was able to share my thoughts and my impressions and my experience. Thanks a lot, Agnes.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to 2023. To get in touch with us with your comments or ideas, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, just email hello at 20-23.earth. You can find even more material, including transcripts of our interviews, on our website at 20-23.earth. Please keep in mind, the content of this podcast is our opinion. We work hard to get our facts right. However, if you find something that can be corrected or improved, please email us at hello at 20-23.earth. If you haven't already done so, we'd be grateful if you would subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you happen to listen. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and there will be springtime in 2023.